Hello, and thank you for listening to Simply Grace, the podcast ministry of Grace Lutheran Church. This is Pastor Wesley, and I'd like to hear from you. Please send us a message to 909-683-1182. That's 909-683-1182.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 15. Glory to you, O Lord. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you?" But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now the festival he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have them release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish for me to do with the man that you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means it's the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, that he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Dear God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to worship. Thank you, everyone, for gathering this morning safely to worship God on this Palm Passion Sunday. Thank you. If this is your first time with us, we'd like to welcome you. And you can text us, actually. We have a number that you can text to say hello so that we can just follow up and put you on our mailing list if you'd like. And that number is 909-683-1182. So again, that's a way of just saying hello and getting connected with us. I also just want to give a special welcome to Chief Darren Goodman from the Upland Police Department and his wife, Shauna, joining us. Welcome. And we'll be hearing from Chief Goodman in a temple talk following the offering. Sometimes we say to people who are experiencing a hardship or trying to make a big decision, sometimes we say to people, is that the hill that you really want to die on? Another more blunt way some people say, is that the ditch you want to die on? And it's a colloquialism we use. It's an idiom to express whether something is that important to you that you would sacrifice your comfort, your well-being, and even your life. Is that the hill you want to die on? Is that the cause you really want to give it all to? But as I was reading the gospel for this Sunday and thinking about all that is going on in our life, I think that there's some untruth in that statement. I wonder if that's not the right question that we should ask people. Because in truth, we don't get to decide which hill we die on. That's something that is beyond our control. We know this because of things we've seen in the news, people who've lost their lives tragically, events that happened that were just so far beyond their control. Especially Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, who was given power from on high. We read about in Philippians, the great Christ hymn, where all this power of God was poured out from heaven into him. Even Jesus, it wasn't up to him to decide what day he would die, what day he would give his life. I don't think we get to decide what hill we die on. But we do get to decide what hill or hills we live on. That is up to us. We can choose when we want to be fully alive? What hill do you want to live on? To be fully alive as God's created child. We can decide that. And the reason why we read of Jesus' passion and his death on the cross, and the reason why it's a good thing, as painful as it is to read, is it shows us, Jesus shows us by his example what it means to be truly alive. Jesus was truly and fully alive on the day of his passion and death. And the reason why is because we are more than just physical bodies. Our physical bodies are very important. They require our care and our attention. And when we suffer, it hurts and it's painful. But we are more than that. We have a soul. We have a soul. And there's a difference between your body and your emotions suffering and your soul suffering. When your soul suffers, it is far worse than when your body suffers. Our souls suffer when we compromise on who we are, when we know the truth, when we know who it is that we are, when we know what God wants us to be and to say in the world, and when we don't do that, when we compromise on God's truth in our lives, that's what hurts our soul. When we're soft-headed and we believe a lie, when we're manipulated by someone else and we end up doing something that we know is not good, when we get pushed around or intimidated or bullied, and we end up taking a course of action that's less than what we know to be true, that is what really crushes a soul. And I am so strengthened, and I hope you are too, when you hear Jesus' passion story, because every step of the way, no matter how much people tried to bully him, no matter how hard people tried to intimidate Jesus, he never compromised on who he was. He suffered physically, emotionally, even, yes, his soul was troubled, but he did not compromise on the truth, on the gospel truth, that he was God's son. And if you, and I invite you to in the coming week to reread this passage at your leisure, take the bulletin home and read it with your family and by yourself and meditate on every step of Jesus' journey, because it's so powerful how confident he was in who he was, even though people tried to resist him and to bully him and intimidate him and get him to change his mind. The first person we read about that Jesus interacts with is Pilate. Pontius Pilate was the governor. He reported up to the Caesar in Rome. He was the most powerful person in that area, bar none, way more powerful than King Herod at that time. King Herod was like a puppet king during those days. The governor from Rome had all the power. And so when Jesus is alone with the Pilate, Pontius Pilate, Pilate tries to intimidate him, says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And what does Jesus say to Pilate? He looks at him in the face and he says, "You say so." Pilate's trying to get him to cave, to crumble, and he stands right there in Pilate's face and he says, "You confess that I am the king, that I am the Son of God." Wow! What audacity for Jesus to do that. If he had succeeded, if Pilate had admitted that Jesus was the Son of God, Pilate would be in direct conflict with the Roman Caesar. Because to confess that anyone else was king or the Son of God would be to contradict the Caesar. And yet Jesus is asking Pilate to do that in the moment. From there, when he goes on the path to the cross and he experiences physical hardship, and he's asked again and again, and he's taunted, why can't he save himself? Why can't you just give up? All along the way, all Jesus would have to have done is to say, I give up, Caesar is the king, and I will be a good little boy and follow like you want me to. And if he had done that, it would have all stopped. But he didn't, because he knew who he was. He knew that God had sent him out of love for us. And so he endured the physical suffering, the emotional suffering, the taunting, the mob, the jeers. And it wasn't a sign of his weakness that he suffered. It was a sign of his strength. He was truly alive. And when we are truly alive, when we have faith instead of fear, if fear had gotten a hold of Jesus, then he would have renunciated everything. But he was able to maintain his faith. And faith is what makes all the difference in the world. Sometimes fear gets a hold of us. Fear gets a hold of us because we see the uncertainty, we see the suffering, we see the tragic loss of life. We know that when we go out there, there is a risk. During this past year or so, I've had the opportunity, I've been blessed to be able to get to know more of the men and women in our community who put on uniforms and serve as police. It has been my honor to get to know members of our own congregation, to get to know Upland Police Department men and women. And one of the things that I had no idea about until I began to get to know these men and women is every day that they put on that uniform, they are putting their lives on the line. Every day. And I take my hat off to the people who, rather than being dominated by fear, are able to do that every time because of faith. Faith that no matter what could happen to any of us, we are secure in God's love and salvation. Faith is what lifts us out of fear and allows us to serve God and to be truly who we are and to not be bullied or intimidated, but to act with love and kindness. Jesus didn't retaliate to anyone who attacked him. He simply knew who he was and was able to endure the suffering. And all along the way, you see how he is changing people's minds. People who were taunting him, when they see his gentleness and they see the strength of his faith, even Roman centurions who had been given the task of executing him begin to confess that he is the Son of God. Simon of Cyrene, an unknown person, helps Jesus to carry the cross because he is so taken by his faith that he overcomes fear. Joseph of Arimathea, who was an insider, who was in the high council, he risks his neck to go and to care for Jesus' body after he dies. Each one of these people comes to faith. And when God gives us faith through God's word, each of us together, working together as a dynamic community, as a beloved community of God's children, we do make the world a better place. When we have faith over fear, we are able to take those small steps of faith that allow us to build trust that makes our community safer and makes the world better. Faith is what overcomes fear and gives us a future that will be better than the present. Trusting that God's kingdom will come to earth. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, every time we pray it, Thy kingdom come. This earth is not forsaken. It is not going down the tubes. This is God's earth. We are God's people, and God's kingdom is coming. And when we live with faith as Jesus did, that kingdom comes. There is more peace and less fear. One of the things that helps us to remember that is that we have a soul. We have a soul. There's something about us that is greater than the physical reality that we see right now. I remember a few summers ago, I had an uncle. His name was Uncle Charles. And Uncle Charles married into our family, and he was a peaceful man. He was an artist. And he lived in Tucson, Arizona. And Uncle Charles, one of the things he would do is he would go and he would catch lizards because he liked to draw them. And rather than hurting the lizards, he did some research and he figured that if you put them in the freezer for a short amount of time, they would slow down. And then he would put them on his sketching table. He would sketch them. They would slowly come back to life underneath the heat of the lamp, and then they would just scurry away, and he'd let them go. And so he would get his drawing done before the lizard was hurt. An artistic man, a peaceful man. And I remember one summer when my wife and I were still dating, we went to a movie, and it was the strangest thing. We were watching this movie. It was the movie AI by Steven Spielberg. It was the early 2000s, and we sat to watch this movie, and this person sitting two seats away looked just like my Uncle Charles, exactly like him, even had a notebook, the same kind of notebook that my uncle would sketch in and draw in, sort of stream of consciousness all the time. And he sat by us in the movie and would sketch and write notes in it, just like my uncle did. And I meant to say hello to him, because how often does that happen? But the movie was over. The movie was over and I forgot. When I came out of the movie theater, my mom called me and said, "Your Uncle Charles has just died in a different state, hundreds of miles away." How could that have happened? It happens because we have a soul. We are more than the sum of our physical parts. We are spiritual beings. And we can endure the physical, emotional stresses and trials of this world, as painful as they are, because we have a soul that Jesus has redeemed on the cross for us and given us faith so that we fear nothing. Amen.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Simply Grace, the podcast ministry of Grace Lutheran Church. This is Pastor Wesley, and I'd like to hear from you. Please send us a message to 909-683-1182. That's 909-683-1182.